The Cougars opened their 2025 campaign with a high-scoring shutout of Portland State. Now the Stanford Cardinal play in Provo for the first time in more than 20 years. To break it all down, we've got Coach Kalani and Keanu Tanuvasa next on BYU TV and ESPN+.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is presented by Intermountain Health, official medical provider of BYU Athletics.
Okay. All right. Well, well, well. Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. We welcome you back inside Studio C in the BYU Broadcasting Building on the BYU campus in Provo, Utah. It's our week two edition of BYU Football with Kalani Sitake, your exclusive weekly look inside the BYU football program. As always, we are joined by a live studio audience. You guys look and sound good. Excellent. And we thank you. Yeah, it's a good group. We thank you for tuning in live or on demand on the BYU TV app, ESPN Plus, and BYU Radio. Coming up on tonight's show, we will look back on a week one win over Portland State at a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Deep Blue is back with the profile of defensive lineman Logan Lutui. Fellow D-lineman Keanu Tanuvasa is our guest in studio. We'll have some fun and games with Keanu. We'll take a look at the Stanford game ahead. And we'll also have a film room session with kicker Will Farron as well. Let's get week two underway by bringing in the man who arguably has the best end zone gritty among all the head coaches in college football. He is Kalani Sitake.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. What's up, Zoe?
And how about another hand for our lay girls, Hazel and Ruth Hamouli, tonight? There. Welcome back.
Feels good. Let's go. 1-0. Happy.
I know, this is usually where we are after week one. Kalani and the Cougs have won their last six season openers now, so that's a pretty good record. How about the opening night environment at Lavelle Edwards Stadium? Was that phenomenal?
Yeah, it was awesome. There's so much energy coming from the crowd. You could feel it from the beginning, and then and nobody was leaving. It was nice. Everybody stayed there, and you kind of sometimes in these games you see people start to leave early, especially when they know that at halftime. I didn't know if I was out what to expect, but then our players are really energized and juiced up about it. So thank you for keeping us in the game, and the energy from the sideline was just feeding off of what we got from the stands, and it was super special. And a lot of great compliments coming from Portland State. The coaches and their players are just saying how it was such a wonderful experience, and so thank you for being kind to the opponents. And then they mentioned that to me personally. A lot of their players did. So thank you, fans, for representing, doing it the right way. I love you guys. That was awesome.
It was.
Do it again.
They said it was, yes. They said it was our biggest home crowd in 16 years.
It's awesome. Yeah, let's break the record this Saturday.
There we go. And the night game record's pretty incredible, too. BYU's 29-4 in its last 33 night games, 16-3 in the last 19 night home games. I know that's somewhat coincidental, maybe, but there's also a really good vibe when you get late night at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Good things tend to happen.
Yeah, I think we're just trying to get it all in before the Sabbath. So that's the, trying to have as much fun as we can.
You mentioned a minute ago, it is six consecutive season opening wins. What is it about you guys? And in fact, you've opened 2-0 in the last five seasons as well. You tend to get really strong starts.
I think it's the anticipation of the season, the energy that the players feel from the expectations of our fans, and you can hear it throughout the whole year, the off season, that they just can't wait to see us play, and that's I think the boys come out because the fans expect them to, and they just need them to do that every week. I think we'll be in a really good spot.
We had a pregame conversation in your locker room for radio before the game, and I was kind of saying, hey, this is an exciting day, and you were kind of like, yes, but I want to make sure the guys be excited, but stay really focused and not get too out of themselves to make sure they execute the way they're supposed to and stay dialed in. And it kind of felt like that was the case, that it was a pretty dialed in team on Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought they were really disciplined. And looking from, you know, from the beginning, from our starters and then the reserve players that came in after halftime, and then just the way that they approached the game, high professionalism, and I think give a lot of credit to the coaches and the coaching staff, just prepping them, getting them ready, and the leadership on our team. If you watch the film, you see that the ones and the starters are all into it. And so the fact that guys were making plays,
when they were out of the game, they were
When they're cheerleading, and it was awesome. And then, you know, waving towels and pumping their fists and just getting the crowd up. And this is a special group, and they love each other, and it showed. And the guys on the field played even harder because of the support they received from the stands, but also from the sideline.
Because of the way the game went, you were able to get a lot of guys in the game, which is great. And we saw a bunch of new guys get in the end zone for the first time as BYU Cougars, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, and they get their first touchdown, and now they're tied with me for their career. So that's it. And they reminded me, like, Coach, we're tied now. I was like, yeah, that's great. How about all the guys that blocked for you? You know, remember that.
Let's take a look back at how things went down on Saturday night. It was a 69-0 home opening win over Portland State. Highlights and stats are presented by Waystar. All right, let's get this in. And this is actually a defensive play we're going to start with. It was a 2nd and 7, and Che Bryant Strother makes a nice TFL, a sack there that forced Portland State into 3rd and long. They would end up having to kick a field goal because in part of the sack by Che.
Yeah, and I think it was a slow start. I mean, we had them 3rd and long and didn't capitalize on that and gave up the first down. I think they got a lot of yards, most of their yards in the first half on the ones. And so, it was a slow start, but it's okay.
Now that led to this. This was the field goal attempt they had from 56 yards. It was blocked and then a scoop and score. And Jack Kelly with his first touchdown as a BYU Cougar.
Yeah, I think it was JT and Keanu were talking about getting knocked back. And, I mean, JT didn't even have to put his hands up. It hit him right in the face. He's that close. But I'll tell you, you see it right here. It's right in his face mask. And so, yeah, it's pretty – I mean, they got good knockback, but the kick usually higher than that. But Jack did a great job scooping and scoring.
Yep.
We practice that all the time.
All the time. It was 7-0 BYU. Next drive for the Cougs features one of LJ's really long runs on the night. LJ Martin had a 49-yard run. I don't think it was this one. That was his 44-yard later, I'm pretty sure. But in drive number 2, it was a 49-yard run. It set up a touchdown to Chase Roberts. We may be able to dial that up for you. Chase Roberts, there we go, a little screen to Chase. And that's his 13th touchdown as a Cougar. And he's the one guy that's been there before that got in the end zone on Saturday.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the few times that we were able to throw the ball that we felt good about throwing it. And I mean, LJ set it up and chased a veteran for us, and I think that was Bears' first throw, right, for a touchdown.
And then later, it was Sione Moa, a 19-yard run. That was early in the 2nd quarter, and that would set up a touchdown toss to a tight end. We saw a couple of those, and here's the play to Noah Moyaki.
Yeah, and that's a hard throw. I mean, but the timing and Bear just being able to throw it and rope it in there before the defender could get there from the other side. Big time play, and you know, we expect him to make a lot. I don't know if Noah knew what to do after scoring the celebration. I think he was going to fold his arms, but then decided to go jump with his teammates.
Then is Cody Hagan, 57 yards, and this kid has some wheels, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, he's got tons of speed. And, I mean, we're really fortunate to have him and his playmaking abilities. I think when he got home from his mission last year, he was still trying to get in the feel of things. And, it's been a year now, so he's right back to where he was when he was making plays at Corner Canyon.
It was 28-0 at that point. Bear Bachmeyer had a rushing touchdown to make it 35-0, and there it is. A couple of options on the play, and the third option was Bear taking off, and Bear took off.
Yeah, and I think he jumped just high enough that made me feel comfortable, you know. So, like, you don't need to jump any higher than that. So, I trust his that's good for a rookie, you know. So, yeah, I'm okay with that play as long as we've had quarterbacks jump way too high when they didn't need to.
There would be another one of those runs for Bear Bachmeyer, by the way. and it was a touchdown. Now, this might have been the earlier run that set up the Chase Roberts touchdown from L.J. Martins. We might have got those a little bit out of sequence, but either way, there would be a touchdown before the break and another touchdown before the break to make it 49-0. And I think the next one we're going to see is going to be the Carson Ryan touchdown catch to make it 42-0. And, yeah, here it is. Nice catch by Carson.
Yeah, and I believe he had another catcher early in that drive to set up this play. And I mean, he's a complete tight end. I'm really happy to be his coach and that he's on our offense. And hey, he's going to be a major weapon for us in so many different ways. He does all the little things. His blocking he is a complete tight end. So, but I like him making plays and making difficult catches.
From UCLA to Utah and now to BYU, Will Farron with a record-tying 56-yard field goal in the second half. It was 55-0 at that point.
Yeah, he wanted to break Owen Potchman's record, but we told him we can't take a false start on purpose. That's not going to work.
I think he said it might have crossed his mind, but it gets good from 56. Then we see Don McKenzie, and this would make it 62-0 for BYU. Another fast guy you've got in your depth.
Yeah, he and his twin brother, I mean, I love that they're on our team, and they can run too. So, I mean, he's a legacy kid. His dad is a great running back that I got to block for, Brian McKenzie, and then his mom is a great track athlete. They had no choice. They had to be really fast coming out. You know, so it's really good to have one on each side, having Marcus at corner and having
Don Marcus playing
as receiver. Yeah,
on defense the same night. All right, let's get to those stats then from the game. Brought to you by Smarty, and you see BYU holding Portland State to only 51 total yards. That's the second lowest number in a game in BYU football history. You got to go back to 1964 to find the only lower number in a game. Just a dominance and a plus 8 yards per play. That'll get it done for sure. You were supposed to defeat this team pretty handily. You did. You took care of business.
Yeah, and I think at the beginning we knew we were going to get their best shot, and they came out in some different personnel sets that we weren't ready for.
Different quarterback.
And so a lot of different moving parts that Jay and the staff, you couldn't have predicted it. I mean, they used an extra O-lineman as in the backfield and different things like that. And so we had to just kind of get used to it. And then we gave up a first down on a screen. So we make adjustments, and then everything started to move smoothly afterwards. And offensively, we can't score on every drive, you know, but I would like to. But
well, you almost did. You scored on all but one.
Yeah, I mean, the opening drive, we kind of ran into some issues there, but it's okay. We have a good punter, and sometimes I like to go for it on fourth down. So let's get a little closer and make it hard for me.
This week, BYU looks to get off to a 2-0 start to the season for a sixth consecutive season. Let's get a schedule check. It's presented as well by Smarty. And you see that BYU's off to its 1-0 start. And Stanford this week in an early bye week. What do you think about the early bye week in week 3?
Yeah, we'll make it work. I mean, right now I'm not focused on anything other than getting ready for Stanford.
Saturday against Portland State, BYU, by the way, scored 69 points, as we know. Well, Will Farron had 15 of those points, the third highest point total for a kicker in BYU football single game history. And he's extended his BYU record to now 18 consecutive field goals made. Tonight, he joins our Jerem Jordan to talk about his latest 2 3-pointers. They're inside the film room.
All right, Will, congratulations on a massive win in week 1. A couple of field goals for you. Notably, the 56-yarder for 18 in a row, and that ties the BYU record. We're going to see the BYU record from you this year, I think. But tying the record is pretty cool. What did you see on this one? Because I imagine from 56, there's a little bit of adjusting.
Not really.
Okay,
actually.
Then.
So we approach every kick the same way. So being at 56 versus being at a PAT, we hit the ball the same way.
So you don't have to change angle at all?
No, occasionally we'll change a little bit of tilt on the ball. We had a little bit of a breeze in our face for this kick. So Sam Vanderhaar tilts the ball just a tiny bit forward, which he has to do really quick. And other than that, it's just swinging straight and trusting that ball is going to be there. So for me, it's all the same. I think it's cool on this play. You get to see the excitement out of the guys. I'm not a big celebrator. I'll never do a celebration or anything like that, but it's fun when you get the passion out of the other guys out there, and guys are coming up to me and I'm trying to get off the field, but
you're backing up.
Yeah, but everyone's excited about it.
Is that because you expect it to go in, that you're not celebrating like that, or you're just a chill dude?
Yeah, I think I I like to approach every kick the same way. And part of that is, I think, a make and a miss. I think my reaction should be the same.
And I imagine you want the record. You want a chance at the record at BYU.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's cool getting chances to do things that haven't been done before. So, I don't know. I think it's cool. I think if they're willing to put me out, then I'll just go and put it through and do my job.
Later, there's a kickoff where you get a chance to kind of pin Portland State in. What's the strategy to try and get some field position on this?
With 11 guys, there's bound to be different holes on the field that we can take advantage of, whether that's an onside kick or a sky kick or hitting the kickoff across the field. We like to get creative in what we're doing and see if we can put a ball on the ground. Up men are usually taught to not go backwards because it's kind of like fielding a baseball where there's the areas that the ball belongs to this guy versus this guy. So what we're trying to do is put their guys in awkward situations. And it was this up back right here, seeing if we can get him to leave the ball, but also not hit the ball too high to where the returner can get under it. So it's a lower ball that hits just outside of the area that we believe someone's going to have to cover. So our goal on kickoff is either a touchback, which would put the ball in the 25, or to cover a ball and have it be better than the touchback, so 24 or less.
I heard a nickname on Twitter for special teams, the K-pop Demon Hunters.
The K-pop
you okay with that?
Hey, I love it.
You guys are fun to
get,
watch.
We got to get K-pop some cred.
I know, right? Special teams are must-see now. I think for most teams, they're just like, eh, whatever. For BYU fans, like, anything can happen. You can block a field goal and return it like we saw. You could kick a 56-yard field goal. Anything could happen, which is fun.
Yeah. I think on Instagram, I've been using special teams you. A lot of
special
the time
teams, you okay? I think, love that.
I think we can and should have the best special teams in the country, and I think that's something that our guys are bought into, and just making sure that we're doing our jobs at the highest level that we can.
Well, I look forward to the day when you kick the longest field goal in BYU history. You tied it this week. That was awesome. Best of luck against Stanford this week, and thanks for the time, Will.
I appreciate it.
Will's got the leg to make that happen, by the way, to go something longer than 56.
Oh yeah, he's got an NFL leg, and so and he's got so many skills, in his leadership. You could see how much the team loves him, and they I didn't have a choice when they said we could tie or break the record. The players didn't even give me a chance. It's like they're yelling for field goal. So I'm like, all right, field goal, here we go. You know, but they knew that he could make that kick. They've seen him kick. I mean, and it's into the wind, and they still had a lot of confidence in him. And he's a lovable guy and a great leader for us.
Speaking of NFL legs, how proud are you of Ryan Rico for having locked into a spot in the NFL with the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, he's doing a great job, and I mean, I think Will said it. We should have the best special teams, and we have the best special teams coordinator in the country, who's also a great defensive mind too. So I'm really fortunate we have Kelly Papinga on our staff.
All right, good segment. Time for our first break, and this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation with Spencer and Jerem weekdays at noon Eastern on BYU TV and also BYU Radio. When we come back, we'll go deep blue with Logan Lutui, and Keanu Tanuvasa joins us here in Studio C as BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Stay with us.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics, Waystar, and Smarty, address data wizards.
All right, so welcome back to BYU Football. It is time now for our closer look at the lives of BYU football players. It's called Deep Blue, and it's presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. Well, after three seasons at Weber State, defensive end Logan Lutui was prepared to pivot away from football. But when an opportunity presented itself at BYU, Lutui trusted in the Lord's timing and became one of the Cougars' standouts. Here now, Deep Blue with defensive lineman Logan Lutui.
Logan was just fresh off of his mission playing football at Weber, and my cousin was like, you need to go on a date with my companion. They serve together. And I was like, okay, like, I guess, whatever.
From that double A, it turned into just more dates, and the following year after my freshman season is when we got married.
We were in St. George playing Utah Tech. So I was sitting there, and I was like, ooh, I don't feel too good. Can't be anything too crazy. Maybe I'm just coming down with something. And that one little sickness turned into every single day, headaches every single day, just not feeling good every day. And I was like, I can't be pregnant.
We had planned that, you know, we'll plan for kids later on in life.
3 weeks after feeling sick, I took the test that I was pregnant. And our lives were kind of put on a pause right there. We were like, wait, we weren't expecting this. What do we do now? What do we do from here?
Salai was the breadwinner for our family. She was making the money and helping us to stay where we were at. I was a full-time football player in college, student athlete. And once she got pregnant, she wasn't able to work anymore. She got like really, really sick.
I could not even stand the smell of my apartment that we lived in Farmington. The only place that I could handle somewhat was being at my parents' house, which was here in Provo. So when I would go to my parents' house in Provo, Logan still had to make it to practice and to weights on time. So Logan would commute from Provo to Ogden every single day, just about.
It made me kind of feel selfish that I was choosing football over my family. And it was a decision that had to be made if I wanted to keep going down this path or if I was going to take care of my responsibilities and my new role as a father.
We prayed on it, we fasted, we went to the temple, and the number one decision was we weren't meant to be there anymore. And so with that, Logan knew that might be the end of his football career.
I did not like it at the time because he was going to be for sure one of our best players, and he was needed at Weber State. But in those moments, you slap him on the butt and you wish him the best.
We entered the transfer portal, didn't think anything of it. We had here and there a little bit of, oh, you could go here, or maybe somebody will contact you here, but it was never, ever followed through, and we weren't expecting much either, so it didn't really hurt our feelings in that sense. We had just come to the conclusion that we were done with football.
I decided just to continue on with my education, and since we were already in Provo, I enrolled in BYU just as a student. That was my new life. There was some talk from the coach that there might be a spot. And whenever there's a possibility of there being a spot on the football team, they have this class for gray shirts and walk-ons that you can go into, and if they need you, they'll pull you up from that class and you can join the team.
I could kind of see the spark getting back into his eye, but at the same time, I just didn't want him to get his hopes up too much. Just kind of being the level-headed one on the side, I was just like, you know what, this is a great opportunity, but also what we got going is good as well. Don't feel like if this doesn't happen, that the world is over. So that's where it started, and he just kept going to that class.
You get really anxious when it comes fall camp time. If you're called up, it would be at fall camp. And if not, then, yeah, you're most likely not going to be on the team.
That Friday, I think it was a Friday, we were pretty nervous because we were expecting him to get that call, you know, or get pulled to the side and say, hey, you made the team. Join us in fall camp on Monday. And it never came.
You're training the whole summer just as hard as anybody else for a chance. And when that chance is in there, You get kind of down.
We talked about it. He said, you know what? I tried my best. I said, yes, you did. And we have so much more to accomplish in life, so it's going to be good regardless. And we just went about our life for that weekend.
Monday morning came around, and I got a text from the defensive coordinator for BYU at that time. Hey, we had somebody go down, and we need somebody to fill in. We can get you all suited up, get your gear ready. We have a locker for you. We start up tomorrow. And when I saw that, I couldn't believe it. It was just like a miracle. We were going to continue on our lives with whatever the Lord had in store for us. From then on, that's what we were expecting. And I guess he had different plans for us.
We already know what it feels like to be at the bottom. I feel like that's where we were for the last few years. We can only go up from here. And so going into fall camp, he knew he had something to prove.
I was about seventh on the depth chart, and I just had the mindset of, all right, just get to work. By the end of the camp, I moved up to third string. And then by the third game, I was named the starter.
That's the thing I love about him is nothing's been given to this kid. He's had to earn it the whole way.
He bet on himself. He came down here, did great things, got on the field, and now has become one of our best players.
We were on that high. We were so excited. He started those few games, the next game against Wyoming, and he just pivoted, stepped out wrong, and he ended up tearing his ACL, which ultimately ended his season and affected the next season as well.
You've worked so hard to get where you're at. You've done your part.
How do we go through this again? We thought we had made it past what we needed to, but now we're adding another trial on top of everything that we've already been through. What do we do from here?
I spent a lot of time around doctors. I was in the training room every day, all day. Being around them, I just grew a love for what they were doing, how they were taking somebody that was not only broken, like, physically, but they do a great job of, like, reassuring you that, you know, you're going to get back to where you were. Like,
he got really intrigued in the medical field. Because of that, he changed his degree from a business management degree to an exercise science degree.
With the, you know, the hopes and desires to become a doctor in the future.
I look at just the different hurdles and Trevor and the adversity he's overcome. He just kind of quietly goes about doing it.
He's not the trumpet, right? He's not the guy that's going to be all out there, all out in the front. But, man, he is that subtle, wise influence and presence that you would want in a locker room. It's like a security blanket that you think you don't need, but you need.
We think about that moment often where we were sitting in the car after talking to Coach Hill and telling him that we're done. We're going to enter the transfer portal. You know, we have a family on the way and we need to switch gears and relate it to our life now. And it truly is just like Heavenly Father's way. Nothing that we did was ever our way. It was always going to be what Heavenly Father wanted for us. Wouldn't do it any other way, honestly.
God never makes a mistake. And that's something that I've been able to understand and realize from my own life. Just seeing where I've been and where I am now has all came from people that have been placed in my life, situations, trials, triumphs. Yeah, there's just so much more that Heavenly Father has in store for me that I just don't know at the moment. Just do what I've been doing. Just trust and put my head down and start working.
And when your season kicked off a few nights ago, there he was starting at defensive end.
Yep, making big plays and being a leader for us the second year in a row now that he's in our leadership group and that he's a co-captain. And so, you know, he's going to be an amazing doctor one day and hopefully he'll be in the new BYU medical
school. Yeah, no kidding.
That'll be a lot of fun.
So. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's who he is, you know. He it's such a power couple and... And great thing is he has Jack DeMooney as a father-in-law too, so that's a great thing. He's a wonderful from a wonderful family and joined a wonderful family, and then they have a wonderful young man too, the young son that's going to be. I don't know if I get to coach him, but if he's a baller, I will.
new number, by the way, for Logan this year. If you're looking for him out there, number seven this year at defensive end.
Maybe it's number seven for being seventh string, you know.
So yeah, built his way up.
He's been able to. Yeah. That was number eight for Steve Young, right?
Yeah.
So that he was eighth string. Yeah. So that. Yeah, if someone's out there wearing 11, they say they're 11th string. There's no such thing. So.
And Bear wasn't 47 for that reason.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
okay. Tonight's special guest here in studio was called on a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to Provo, Utah. Now he's on another mission in Provo to help BYU contend for its first ever Big 12 championship. Please welcome into Studio C a defensive tackle from Mission Viejo, California, number 57, Keanu Tanuvasa. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Right, tell us where you were born and raised.
So I was born and raised in the Inland Empire, California. Spent some time in Mission Viejo, California for my high school years, and then served my mission out here, and I'm back home.
Yes, you did serve a mission before starting your college career. Had you always planned on serving, and what would you like to share about your missionary experience?
Yeah, I think I had a lot of wonderful people that set the pathway before me, speaking of my siblings. And so I always wanted to serve just because I saw what it did for them, their transformative journey on the mission. And kind of just what that added was that special direct connection to the Savior when I didn't have my family there, and you find yourself alone on those days on the mission field, just ultimately relying completely on Him is the greatest journey that I've been on, and eternally grateful for that time.
What did you feel about your mission destination when you opened the call?
So this is a funny story. Initially, when I opened it, I read Provo, and it was the Provo MTC, and then I continued, and it said Canada. I later found out in the MTC, the online MTC, because of COVID, that it was actually Provo. And so I really found that God was a God of humor. and I was completely shocked. I didn't want to be here. And the Lord found His way to me. And I've just fell in love with the people of Provo. And I'm so blessed to be back here with them.
So He was serving in Provo at a time He wasn't committed to play football in Provo.
That's right. And he taught my son and baptized my son. Yeah. On his mission. I had the great idea of letting my kids decide when they want to get baptized. And my son, for some reason, wouldn't do it. And he was 11 years old now. And my wife was like, hey, you got to figure something out. And, we just prayed about it. And then in walks Elder Tanavasa. And my son connected with him. And the rest is history, man. So there's a lot of great connections here. He's an answer to a lot of my prayers.
And you already knew about this guy when you saw the name pop up.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it's hard to miss the name of someone who was recruiting you for 4 years in high school.
So let's go back 6 years then, when you were deciding where to play college football out of high school. Your dad played at Utah, right?
Yes, sir.
Mid-90s, Sean. And that's where you chose to start your career.
Yes, sir.
Was it the right choice for you then?
It was the right choice for me because it was a personal spiritual journey of development. And within that was my own understanding and connection to the Lord, that's where He wanted me at that time, to learn from those amazing individuals and to develop within that program to find more of myself. And I think that's the amazing thing is I wouldn't have my journey any other way. I'm grateful for the stop that I had at the University of Utah and the development that was there. And I definitely find it as God's divine plan that I am where I am today.
Yeah, you had those years at Utah, including a red shirt. BYU wasn't the place for you then, 6 years ago, but it is now. What were the things that happened in your life and within the BYU football program at the same time that kind of made this the place to be to end your college career?
I think I've recognized that what makes BYU the place for me is the transformative love. The lessons that are had here kind of supersede and extend beyond the game of football. And that's a huge blessing to me. To be a part of and a recognition of something that I want for not just me, but for my future development of my family, of my wife, and of my future kids. And so BYU has helped me in the recognition of my transfer process. I recognize their love and the culture of staying humble, remaining hungry to constantly learn, but ultimately the love for things of the greatest worth. And the prioritizement of that here at BYU has just been magnificent to be a part of.
And Kalani, how was it for you to have Keanu kind of reopen the door to BYU and to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. The football part, you have to understand that's why everybody was – I mean, you can look at all the teams, the top 10 teams, they all wanted him when he's in the portal. And everybody recruited him out of high school, too, because they could see what he could do on the field. But it was off the field that really I was interested in the most. Mm. And the opportunities that he would have here. And you know, in such a short amount of time to come in and in just a matter of months be selected as a captain by his teammates. And they respond really well to him. And he's still trying to figure some things out. I mean, you know, we were just talking about it. He felt like he could have done better in the game, done some things differently. And I'm like, well, you graded out probably the most disruptive D-tackle in the country. So if he's saying he can do better than that, I'm like, yeah, Keanu, try to find a way to do a bit more. You know what I mean? So, but that's just what he does naturally. And so people are drawn to him. And he and his wife are a power couple. They belong here. And I'm looking forward to seeing what he does. The football stuff, I know he'll do great at it. I'm excited to see what happens with him and how he serves the community and the people as a, you know, other than just a football player.
Before the break, Keanu, how embraced do you feel by Cougar Nation? And then how do you describe what I'll call the Kalani culture and the brotherhood at BYU?
I feel, and I think this is one of the greatest compliments that I can give. I feel at home, and I think that's what the Cougar Nation has blessed me to feel, as I feel welcomed. I feel free to be myself. I think that's the highest capacity of love that you can have, is the ability to feel like you can be yourself, and you can just feel free while doing it. And that's what the people here have blessed me to be and to feel like. And I think you said the Kalani culture. That culture is, again, I would use the word because I use it all the time in our meetings. I use it with my coach, my position coach, and it's a transformative love, one that transcends what we do. It's more about how we do it. It's more about how I'm becoming within the process. It's amazing to win reps. It's amazing to get the sack in the big play. It's even greater to develop in the how I'm doing it, to develop and to stay committed to the process of it. And that's what Kalani's culture is, and what I'm extremely blessed to be a part of.
I'm going to squeeze in one quick question before the break then. What do you think the potential is for this 2025 BYU football team?
I wouldn't give it any certain title, because I think it supersedes the understanding of myself, and I would speak for Coach, and I think it supersedes his. It's just becoming our best, and like he said, finding ways to do even better each week. It was an amazing win to go 69-0 against Portland State, but it's something that doesn't have to be done just one week. I believe it can be done every week, and hopefully for 14, 15 games of the season.
Well stated. Great stuff. Coming up next, some fun and games with Coach Kalani and Keanu when BYU football with Kalani Sitake continues. Oh, stay with us. Now, we hope you all enjoy the show that you're watching, but if you want to come to the show and be in studio, see, you get a lot of good stuff on the breaks, let me just tell you. This is BYU football with Kalani Sitake, represented by Intermountain Health. Before we get any further, do you have anybody with you in the audience tonight?
I do. I just wanted to give a little shout out to my gorgeous and beautiful wife, Zarin. She's my number one supporter and always with me, so I am beyond blessed to have her with me.
All right. All right, it is time now for a little fun and games with Keanu Tanivasa in a segment we are calling New Knows the Bigs. This is what we're going to do. We're going to ask you, Keanu, to give us some defensive line superlatives based on how well you know your teammates up front. So we're only talking about D linemen.
Okay.
And you're welcome to lean on Kalani if you want for any additional input on these. All right. We are going to ask you the identity of something, and you're going to give us who the best fit might be for this thing. For example, I might say, who's most likely on the D line to steal a snack? Most likely to steal a snack. What do we think about this one?
There's a lot of those. I do know the bigs, and we are called the bigs for a reason. So all of us, but specifically probably John Tamoipeo.
JT. Okay, JT gets the ID for that one. Very good. Most sure. likely to steal a snack would be John Tamoipeo. All right, that's how it goes. You agree with that one, Kalani? Are you gonna?
I just want to keep the harmony with the D line. They're doing a great job. So like, yeah, just if it's a bad one, just answer JT to everyone. Yeah.
Number two on this one, who would have the best sack dance? Best sack dance, do you think?
Can I give it to myself?
You can.
Absolutely. I'll probably give it to myself.
Good, Keanu.
I like dancing.
All right. Next one. Fastest big guy.
Fastest big guy. Probably Anisi.
Anisi Purcell.
Anisi Purcell. Yeah, he's got a really good, powerful base, and he gets out really quick.
Thought he had a good game Saturday, too. Great. Yeah. Number four. Most likely to be late. Most likely to be late.
His name is Vi, Uluvai. He would probably be, he's still one of our youngins, so he's still getting the hang of things, so he would probably be our latest one.
Next one, who is the cougar tail king, or who could eat the most cougar tails, do you think?
Probably two guys, our heaviest defensive tackles, so Justin Kirkland or KJ Pakofe.
Okay, very good. Next, this is called the Unk Award, or the Old Head. Who's the old head?
Logan Lutui. Logan Lutui. Yeah. There's no thought there. It's definitely him.
Okay, we are deep blue tonight, Logan Lutui. Very good. All right, next, who's the strongest in the weight room?
We kind of each have our own days. If I can give you a little rundown, I would personally take the bench day. JT is the strongest squatter probably on the team, and Anisi can clean more weight than anybody else. So it's evenly split, but those guys like Justin Kirkland is kind of a well-rounded individual. He can do it all.
I love it. He's given really thoughtful answers.
Yeah, he's...
You know, this is good. It's all well-categorized. I appreciate this.
I got to respect my guys.
This one's called Mr. Drip. Now, as an older guy, I know this means wardrobe. Who gears up the best? Who's Mr. Drip?
JT. Probably JT as well.
What's his style?
He always, if you guys find, he always has a towel on game day. He never uses it, but he always has it on his back pocket.
Okay. Our next ID is future coach. Who's a future coach on the D-line?
Future coach. Probably myself. Probably just for my kids. Maybe one day I could be like Coach Kalani, but...
Would you want to go into it someday? After you're done playing football, would you want to be a coach at a high level?
Potentially. Yeah. I think I'd want to coach and help make a difference in people's lives. But, yeah, I could maybe see myself going that route.
Okay. Next, hands. Who's got the best hands on the D-line?
Orion. Orion has... Milan Kalfusi has the best hands on the D-line.
Okay, jersey number 10, Orion. And then our last question, who would be the best future seminary teacher on the D-line?
I love you, JT, but it's not you.
He's getting almost everything tonight. So.
I know. Well, he made a lot of plays, so he can get a lot. So I would give it to Justin Kirkland. He's a great leader and a great communicator. He would be a good seminary teacher.
Very good. Kalani, now that you've heard all this, give us your perspective on BYU's defensive line, the group, the room they are this year.
Yeah, they're a great group, and they have a great leader. And just good young men, so it's an honor for me to coach them. And I like it because they can be violent when we need them to be, but they're kind-hearted, and they're great examples to young people. So it's a lot of fun to be able to coach them.
And Keanu, well done in our new nose segment. That was really fun. Good job on
you.
That. All right.
After this break,
we'll have a Q&A for the coach and Keanu Tanivasa. And we'll have some BYU football trivia as well. When BYU Football with Kalani Sitake returns on BYU TV, BYU Radio, and the NBA.
BYU Football with Kalani Sitake is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. And Ken Garf, we hear you.
Welcome back. BYU Football with Kalani Sitake. Now let's head to our studio audience. It is Q&A time featuring the coach and Keanu Tanivasa, presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. We've got Brenton on the studio mic. First up, Brenton, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. So this question is for Keanu. You've talked a lot about how BYU is so much more than football. So what would you say your favorite or best lesson that you've learned from Coach Kalani and his staff outside of football since you've arrived?
I would say it's probably a lesson that I've already known that I was blessed to learn when I grew up, but it has become more prominent in these times within my life, and that's the impact that I have on someone is a whole lot worth more than the success that I have on the field. And the blessing of serving within the community, having individuals that are true blue heroes and individuals who have different lives than us, and then, of course, above all else, being able to give the glory back to my Heavenly Father and my Savior. That's the greatest thing that I've known and that has been so prominent in these current days.
Awesome. Thank you. Next, your name and your question.
Yeah, my name's Jeff. This is for Coach Kalani. What's the funniest excuse you've heard for a player being late?
The funniest excuse? Oh, had a player tell me that the elevator was broken. And... But no, the elevator is actually way out of. It takes so longer to go catch the elevator than to take
the
stairs.
Yeah.
But I was okay with it because I like him, don't like stairs either. So It's a good excuse for me. It was okay with me.
All right, I think we have time for one more question. Yes, go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, my name's Nate. For both of you guys, just curious, what are some of your pregame rituals, things you guys do to get ready for the game?
Go on.
I like to I just envision a lot. I just try to see myself in the best position possible and fulfilling just my technique. Just walking through what my performance should look like, and then in the end, kind of just hoping for interviews and opportunities to give back to a greater cause.
Great, thank you. Coach?
I just try to stay loose so the guys can see that I just want to have fun, you know, and enjoy it, and then I eat an Uncrustable.
I'll squeeze a question in for Keanu before the break. You played in the Pac-12. You got a taste of Big 12 football. How do you compare the two leagues, and how do you see BYU fitting into Power Conference football? You've seen a lot of it.
Yeah, I think the two leagues are very similar. I think it's changed a lot in the past couple years, but I saw the Pac-12 as very fast, and I see the Big 12 as very physical. It still is fast, right? It's college football, but there's definitely a lot more physicality that I think I feel from playing within the Big 12. And where I see BYU fitting within that is just at a very high performing level. I think we have a lot of players that have a great capacity, and I think we have a culture that only magnifies that within the game of life and within the field. So I think we're growing exponentially and hopefully going to take us a far way this year.
I have to ask you how it felt to be in a BYU uniform in a Saturday night Lavelle Edwards Stadium experience late night last Saturday.
I thought I was dreaming. It was shocking. It was at first seemed like a nightmare because ever since I was a kid, I dreamt myself in red. and it turned out to be such a unique experience, that level of love and that level of support and the amount of fun that I've had playing the game reminded me of when I was a little kid. Mm. So I loved it.
Well, it is so great having you here and part of the BYU family. I speak for Cougar Nation. All right, as we take another break, here's this week's BYU football trivia question. Here it is. Will Farron has converted 80 consecutive PAT tries. Who holds the BYU record for consecutive PATs with 86? The answer is coming up right after this. Stay with us. Welcome back to BYU football with Kalani Sitake. It's presented by... We are presented by Intermountain Health. Here's tonight's BYU football trivia question. Will Farron has converted 80 consecutive PAT tries. He had 9 on Saturday. Good heavens. Who holds the BYU record for consecutive PATs with 86? The answer here is Jake Oldroyd. Yeah. I wouldn't mind if Will broke that record this Saturday. That'd be okay. If he gets 7 PATs in this next game, we'd take that.
Fun.
All right, let's get to know the foe a little bit as BYU looks to go 2-0 for his 6th consecutive season this Saturday. Home to Stanford. Some quick facts about the Cardinal. You see their head coach is a former NFL guy in Frank Wright. Coach, yeah, he's come from the NFL ranks to see what he can do with Stanford and his friend Andrew Luck, who's now the GM of the program.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of knowledge there. They know how to run a program, and I think they're just trying to get things rolling there, and they had an extra week to prepare for us. I mean, you could watch all our film from last year and be able to prep. So we know we have to be on top of our game. They'll be ready to give us their best shot. We just need to do the same. But have a lot of respect for them and their team. And they have a lot of talent. I mean, look at the guys that we got from there. We got the Bachmeyers. I mean, LJ Martin was committed to them. Nusi Tamwaipao is here from there. So that they do have quality players on that team, so we have to be ready for that.
You last saw him in 2022, last game of the regular season in 22.
Yeah, it was a good game for us. Hopefully we can do the same.
All right, let's take a look at the broadcast lineup for Saturday night for both TV and radio. Stanford against BYU here at Lavelle Edwards Stadium at 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Mountain Time. We are on the air on both BYU TV and BYU Radio with pregame coverage. You can watch the game on ESPN, the big network, and hear it with Hans and Mitch and me on BYU Radio. And then following the game, you'll get post-game coverage late into the night and early into the wee hours with BYU TV and BYU Radio. Here are the jerseys BYU will be wearing
for this Saturday's game with Stanford. The graphic and information provided by at BYU Tracker on social media. The team will be in white helmets, royal jerseys, and white pants, but they want the crowd to be in white. It's a late night whiteout at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. That's going to look pretty cool, I think.
That would be good, yeah. White's not so flattering for my body, but it's okay. I'll try.
Me neither, Coach. Me neither.
Yeah.
The boys will be in blue, and you'll be in white. It'll all work itself out. Folks, thanks for being here tonight. And Keanu, thank you. Kalani, we'll see you again soon. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week.
Love you, Greg. Thank you.